Good morning and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, your host of this very fast-paced half hour of special topics and special guests designed to help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, a law firm located in Reston, Virginia, but serving the entire Washington, D.C. metro area. If you'd like to know more about OF&P, visit us on the web at www.ofplaw.com or give us a call for an appointment at 703-218-2100. Also, I invite you to read my blog, or listen to the blog, or watch the blog at blueprintforwealth.org, where you can find videos, audio, and articles of interest on tax, planning, estate planning, and business planning. And lastly, I invite you to read my column in the Washington Business Journal every month entitled Blueprint for Wealth. Today, we're going to be talking about expatriation. Has the passage of Obamacare left you, like conservative talk radio host Rush Limbaugh, threatening to leave the country? Have the elections left you in a funk? Or perhaps you're sick of listening to Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, and the Tea Partiers, and you'd like to flee to a remote island without cable or satellite TV. Or maybe you're a naturalized U.S. citizen or a permanent resident holding a green card who's prospered here but would now like to move back to the old country for retirement. Whatever your motive is, just because you leave the U.S. and you renounce your citizenship or turn in your green card, don't assume you can leave U.S. taxes or tax forms, for that matter, behind, particularly if you're well off. If you expatriate, and that means renouncing your citizenship or your green card status, after 2008, which is today, then certain expatriation tax rules apply to you. For those who expatriate now, since Internal Revenue Code Section 877 capital A applies, you're subject to an immediate excise tax, which deems you, for tax purposes, to have sold all of your worldwide property for fair market value the day before you depart the United States. It wasn't always this way. Way back in the 1960s, you could leave the U.S. permanently without worrying about taxes. In 1966, Congress and the President passed its first major tax initiative to seek revenue from those who were leaving for tax avoidance purposes. In 1994, a Forbes cover story described how wealthy Americans such as Campbell Soup heir John Dorrance III, the late Carnival founder Ted Arison, and Dart Container heir Kenneth Dart gave up their U.S. citizenship and avoided U.S. income tax or estate tax despite these rules. So changes were made to the law then, and again in 2004, and again in 2008. The first thing you need to know about the United States is that Uncle Sam taxes income worldwide. The U.S. is unusual in that respect. It asserts the right to tax your worldwide income and at death your assets of citizens and those who are permanent residents of the U.S. It doesn't matter where you live, where the income is earned, or where else you might pay tax. Yes, you may receive foreign tax credits for taxes that you pay to other jurisdictions outside the United States, but it may offset some of your taxes, but not all of your taxes. The key point is that if you're a U.S. citizen or a permanent resident, no matter where you go, Uncle Sam asserts a claim on your wealth. So being a permanent resident or U.S. citizen can be very expensive. Next, expatriation means that you're really leaving the country. To even think about putting yourself beyond the reach of the IRS, a citizen must give up your U.S. citizenship, and in the case of citizens subject to the Internal Revenue Code, severely limit the time spent in the U.S. to not more than a certain amount of time. Now, you may think that no one has ever done this, but many have. Permanent U.S. residents, those people who are holding green cards, also pay U.S. tax on worldwide income. And so they may find it easier to take advantage of the expatriation route, particularly if family or business opportunities beckon back in their country of origin. Next, there is no longer a 10-year window in which you have to pay tax. The exit tax is imposed on the date before you depart the United States. If you don't pay it, then the IRS will come after you. Now, there are ways of deferring the tax if you post a security bond in accordance with the Internal Revenue Code. But the bottom line is the tax is due before you leave. Now, there are some big changes that were enacted in 1996, but since 1996, and in 2004 in particular, it used to be that tax avoidance was relevant. Now, it doesn't matter if you have a tax avoidance motive. In 2004, in the American Jobs Creation Act, Congress threw out the tax avoidance motive test altogether. There would be 10 years of U.S. tax on U.S. source gross income under the 2004 law. Now, the law, again, imposes the excise tax if you leave after 2008, if you meet certain tests. The first test is if your income tax, your net annual average income tax over the last 5 years, is equal to or greater than $151,000 for 2012, then you will be subject to the excise tax. If you don't meet that test, but you have a net worth of at least $2 million on the date of expatriation, and that, again, is worldwide assets, then you will be subject to the 877A exit tax. There are certain other tests, but even if you're below the thresholds that I just mentioned, you'll get taxed. For example, expatriates must certify their past U.S. tax compliance by filing IRS Form 8854. Any expatriate who fails to certify compliance with U.S. federal income tax laws for the 5 years preceding expatriation is subject to the exit tax, even though they didn't meet the income tax threshold or the net worth threshold. Next, there are special rules for certain long-term residents. It's easy to define who is or is not a U.S. citizen, but the term long-term resident isn't quite as clear. A long-term resident is a non-U.S. citizen who is a lawful permanent resident of the United States in at least 8 years during the 15-year period before ending the U.S. residency. It includes green card holders. A person is not treated as a lawful permanent resident for purposes of the 8-year test in a year in which that person is a resident of a foreign country under a tax treaty and takes advantage of the treaty benefits. Holding a green card, by the way, for at least one day in any taxable year taints the whole year for purposes of this 8-year, 15-year test. Now, there's this exit tax that I mentioned. The HEROES Earnings Assistance and Tax Relief Act of 2008, also known as the HEROES Act, or also the acronym for the legislation is also known as HEART, changed the method of taxation for those who become expatriates on or after June 17th of 2008. It added a bunch more complexity. But the bottom line is the exit tax is applied if you meet these tests. Now, there is an exclusion that you can avoid the exit tax if your assets are above a certain level, but the gain on the sale of those assets is not. The exit tax has broad application, but if you have less than $651,000 of income from the deemed sale of your assets, that's for 2012, then you pay no taxes. The exemption amount is indexed for inflation as years pass. Fortunately, not all expatriates face the exit tax. Only covered expatriates do. Under prior law, you generally had to give notice when you were expatriating to trigger the rules. Now, if you relinquish your green card or your passport, it's generally automatic. But some expatriates, even under the new law, can escape the tax. The financial thresholds that I just described, the $2 million or the income tax thresholds, can still exempt you. Also, some people who were born into dual citizenship, who haven't had a substantial presence in the U.S., and certain minors who are under the age of 18 and a half are exempt from this exit tax. You still have to file Form 8854 with the Internal Revenue Service. You can also elect to defer the tax, as I mentioned earlier, by posting adequate security. The rules are complex, and they basically subject you to having to post a security bond with assets that you already have so that the IRS can collect the tax if you flee. As you might expect, there are forms to file and procedures to follow if you desire to expatriate. In fact, if you're wavering, the paperwork alone may keep you stateside. You must file IRS Form 8854 in some cases for 10 years for each year after you expatriate. Additional special forms, including Form W8CE and other forms, are also required. There's an IRS notice that's a good source of information on this topic. It's IRS Notice 2009-85, which is still effective today. The bottom line is, get some professional help from a lawyer and an accountant who have experience in dealing with this expatriation. As we're just merely scratching the surface of this area, the tax rules regarding expatriation for citizens and green card holders are very complex, perhaps dizzying. Gone are the days when one could renounce U.S. citizenship and start a good chance of avoiding U.S. tax. If you're facing these issues, or even if you're a beneficiary of someone else who's facing them, give us a call at Odin Feldman and Pittleman at 703-218-2100, or visit us on the web to find a lawyer that can help you at www.ofplaw.com.